And those that have not heard me preach, well, you'll get a dose of it tonight. By the grace of God, I will tell you, I don't make any apologies when I stand and say this, but I came to preach. And so I know there are those that may have a talk or may speak, but I'm a preacher called by God, and thank God for the privilege each time. I do not take this lightly tonight. And we've had a good day today too, Pastor. We've had a wonderful day in the Lord. Saw an altar full this morning, tears, shouting, a lot of things laid out at that altar, and a wonderful message by our pastor over there in Lenore City at Fellowship Baptist Church. And I just thank God for a good day. I thank God that we can come into the house of God on a Sunday night. A lot of places this day and time, there is no Sunday night service. But I thank God that I can come and feast on what God would have in his house for this hour. If you got your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 15. The book of Mark, chapter number 15. I want to read some scripture here. And this is what the Lord just impressed on my heart the other day. When Pastor Lawson called us, and I saw the call, and I knew who it was, and I was anxious to take that call. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of calls that I get. I'm not so anxious to take them. But when the man of God calls and tells us or asks us if we'd come, what a privilege and what an honor it is tonight to be at Temple Baptist Church. And I thank God for such an honor. This may be the very last time that I have the privilege to preach the gospel. Maybe the very last time that you're in the house of God to hear the gospel. So listen close to what the Lord has to say tonight from the scriptures. Mark chapter number 15, beginning at verse number 16. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of a skull. Our Heavenly Father, as we read your precious word tonight, your God, we thank you for the honor. We thank you for the privilege. But we understand tonight, dear Lord, unless you touch, unless you anoint us from heaven on high, unless you decide to use us as your mouthpiece, dear God, there will be no preaching unless the master preacher shows up tonight. And I ask you, dear God, touch us. I ask you to fill us with your power. I ask you for that special anointing from heaven on high. And dear God, we'll rear back and we'll preach this precious gospel one more time. In your precious and holy name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I want you to think on this thought for just a few moments. Oh, and by the way, I just have one gear. So just hang on for just a few moments tonight. And then when we're done, we'll go to our respective places. But I want you to think on this thought tonight. I'm not here to preach, believe it or not, in reading these scriptures. I'm not here to preach of Calvary tonight. As much as I am wanting you to look at verse 21 of what I read you. In verse 21, the Bible says one more time, "And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." If I could give you something tonight, if I could just give you a thought tonight from the Word of God, I would like to preach for just a few moments tonight on a difficult cross to bear. a difficult cross to bear. Let that soak in and let that sink in, because I want to dwell tonight on this man named Simon. I want to dwell on this Cyrenian, and why all of a sudden he's in the crowd. There's a much people, and a crowd of people are gathered to see one, the blessed Lamb of God, the one that they call King of the Jews. They were leading him to Golgotha, the place of a skull, and they were going to see him be crucified there. They were going to see him hang on a cross. But in the midst of this, we see a man named Simon. Believe it or not, there's only three scriptures, three places in God's word that this man appears. He only appears for just a brief time, for a brief moment. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot about Simon the Cyrenian. In the book of Matthew, it simply says there in chapter 27 and verse 32, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Then you go over past Mark into the Gospel of Luke, and you'll find in chapter 23 and verse 26 where the Bible says they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross. We find this man. You say, why, preacher, is this man all of a sudden, he's just appeared, he's standing in the midst of the crowd, he's there at this point and at this time. This man was going, no doubt, if you study the scriptures, no doubt if you study this man's life, the Bible says he was a Cyrenian. That's a little Libyan city in North Africa. It's about 850 miles as I looked and tried to get the mileage from Jerusalem, from Israel. It's about a 32-day journey back in those days to get to where he was. But there was something that made him travel this far at this time. There was something that caused this man to go and be there as they were leading Christ to Golgotha. You say, preacher, what was it? It was the Passover feast. I believe that this man was no doubt a Jew that lived in Cyrene, and he was going back, and he remembered the scriptures, and he remembered this particular day when the Bible said in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. I am convinced that that Simon was going to celebrate the Passover. You say, preacher, why did you read all three scriptures? Because there's only one that gives an account of Simon and his sons, Alexander and Rufus. Out of these three portions of scripture, only one specifies not only this man, but a father and his two sons. And I want you to pay close attention to the word of God. You say, what did he see, preacher? Well, he was going to that Passover, Brother Barry, simply because he was celebrating the exodus of the children of Israel out of bondage there in Egypt. He was celebrating a particular night that happened there on the 14th day of the month. He was celebrating the time when God had told Moses, go and let them know to get a lamb without blemish. Simon was going to celebrate that lamb without blemish. Little did he know, he was staring into the eyeballs. He was staring into the very face of the blessed holy Lamb of God. God has a way of taking care of us old men. Amen. Listen to me tonight. All of a sudden he had came to celebrate a lamb without blemish. Not only had he came to celebrate a lamb without blemish, but Simon had come to celebrate that night when the blood was put upon the upper post and upon the side post. He had came to celebrate that lamb to be killed in the evening. But little did he know, he stared in the very face of Almighty God. He stared in the face of the one that would be crucified in the evening hour. All of a sudden, he's come
time to celebrate a feast, to go as it was commanded there in the law, and to celebrate this, the Bible said, for the generations to come. And there he is with his two sons, with his male children. I don't know if Simon had any daughters. I have no idea. But I know there's significance with him and these two boys. Listen to me tonight by the word of God. Simon comes, and he comes because it's a memorial unto the Jewish people. It's a memorial there recorded in the Old Testament. Little did he know, he's standing looking at the very memorial that will be for all times to come. He's standing looking at the very Lamb of God at this hour. Amen. You say, preacher, I understand all these things, and I understand that you come tonight, but you said that you were going to preach a message, and you wanted us to plant into our hearts a difficult cross to bear. Yeah, I want to point out a few things to you tonight. There is no doubt tonight, and I watched it this morning, my heart broke at our church as I saw something that I had not seen before. Something came over a lady as she was in the altar. My wife was there praying with her. And as she was praying this morning, the precious Holy Spirit swept through the place. And I saw this woman broken. I saw her heart totally broken. And then it dawned on me, this was a mother that had lost her son, a sheriff's officer, a sergeant in Loudoun County that was hit a little over a year ago by a tractor trailer. That man was my best friend that sat in the church pews, just a few pews behind us. That man was a good man of God. But that mama this morning hit an altar, and I knew that she meant business with Almighty God. She was bearing a cross, a difficult cross that only a mama can bear. I went up and hugged her neck, and I told her, I love you, but I have no idea where you're at. And all of a sudden, there in that altar, she began to scream. She began to cry. She began to weep. It run chills upon my arms. She got a hold of Almighty God, and she said, I can't take it no more. This cross is too heavy for me to bear. There's something about a difficult cross. Amen. As I watched that woman this morning, I watched her heart broken. Folks, she wasn't just crying. She began to scream. She began to scream. They had to sit her down in the altar while her pastor came and just got down beside her and just hugged her, just held her as she was screaming. Held her as she was in anguish. You say, why, preacher? Why did anybody do that? Because all of a sudden they realize, I've got a very difficult cross I'm bearing. Listen tonight to the message. God's brought it to Temple Baptist Church. He's brought it to you tonight because I do not know you. As the choir was singing, I began to pray right here in this pew and ask God, oh, deliver this message to someone that's in need. Deliver the word of God to somebody that truly needs it, Lord. God, this preacher has not traveled from North City, Tennessee to North Knoxville, Tennessee for nothing. I came on business for my King. I've come tonight to share with you that there are difficult crosses to bear. But there's an answer to them. Listen to me tonight. When you're given a difficult cross to bear, first thing I want to point out to you, it's not by accident. It won't be by accident, and it won't be by coincidence that you're bearing this difficult cross. You say, I don't know that. Well, we can go over in the book of Genesis as it ends, and you see a man named Joseph. We know the story. I'll not take you through all of it, but his dad has just died, and his brothers are scared to death that Joseph is going to turn on them now that Jacob has died. And they begin to think of what to say and what to rehearse to their brother Joseph. And they begin to rehearse words to him. And the Bible says that he weeps. He wept at their words. He embraced them. And he said these words back to them. In Genesis chapter 50, I believe it's around verse 20. Listen to what Joseph says. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Praise the Lord Jesus. You say, I got a difficult cross, preacher. I got news for you tonight. You may have a difficult cross, but you're not catching the Lord by surprise. He did not mean it for accident. He didn't put that on you by accident. It's not a coincidence that you're carrying a difficult cross. It's not a coincidence that your heart is broken. My friend, listen to me. If you're carrying a difficult cross, it's because that God chose and knows that he will see you through. He picks special people at special times to carry a cross and to go on for the glory of God. Because he knows you're able. He knows that he'll see you through it. I wrote a little word down here, and I know we've all probably heard it. If God calls you to it, he'll see you through it. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that all things work together for good that love him, for good to those who are called according to his purpose. I believe it with all my heart tonight. And I believe that a message like this needs to be preached on a Sunday night at Temple Baptist Church, because there's somebody saying, I can't handle this. This is a burden on me that's just too heavy. I can't handle this. I can't cope with this. Your heart broken and you're saddened. Simon saw a difficult cross. The Bible says they compelled him. Now there's a word in the Webster's dictionary called compelled that you'll see that spells it out as being forced to do something. But I look at it this way, what a privilege for a Cyrenian that was going to a Passover, that he sees the very Lamb of God, and that he is chosen. He is chosen. He is chosen to carry the very cross of the Lamb of God. Listen to me tonight. When you're given a difficult cross to bear, my friend, your testimony will all of a sudden impact everybody around you. Your actions will impact everybody around you. Listen real closely tonight. Listen real closely tonight. Christians and sinners alike, Baptist folks, I'll even get more technical, I'll get even more specific, fundamental independent Baptists. My friend can be so cruel at times. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? They don't care when you're on the mountain. A lot of folks are not watching you when things are going well. A lot of folks do not care that you're doing so good. Why? I believe it with all my heart. I looked at these sons, Alexander and Rufus, and I found one of them. There in the scriptures, if you go over, Paul begins to talk. He's gotten born again there on the way to Damascus. What is known as a murderer, he's now known as a child of God. And in the midst of his talk, in the midst of him talking there in Romans, chapter number 16, I believe it is, he begins to salute some people in the faith. He begins to brag on some people in the faith. And he says this in verse 13 of chapter 16, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. And it gets really good. And his mother and mine. You say, preacher, that don't make a bit of sense to me. It didn't to me either until I asked the Lord, can you please reveal these things? Can you help me, Lord Jesus? Can you show me what this means? Is this the very son of Simon? And I say to you tonight and to declare to you that I believe these boys were watching their daddy. I believe they were watching his actions when he was standing there and when those soldiers compelled him to bear the very cross of the Lamb of God. I believe there was two young boys standing there saying, what's going on? Daddy, don't leave us. What are you doing, daddy? And as it went on, I believe it made an impact on them boys. When their daddy took up on that cross, when they saw him bearing the cross of this one that they were going to crucify. And I believe this. I believe that Rufus ran home. Noticed Mom wasn't with them. Mom wasn't with them. I believe Rufus ran home and said, Mom, you ain't going to believe what Daddy just done. You're not going to believe that Roman soldiers grabbed him and compelled him and made him carry a cross of one that was going to be crucified. And Mom, as he carried that cross, we could tell there's something different about that man. We could tell there's something different about the one that her daddy held. And Mom, I just want to testify to you that this man, he was crucified. And Mom, it didn't end there. There was something different about this man, because on the third day, he resurrected from the tomb. He rose, Mom. He's the only one that us boys have ever seen that was dead and yet he's alive. When Paul said their mother, he mentioned Mom. He mentioned it in the scriptures in Romans 16. You take it however you want to, but he said, and his mother and mine. You say, what do you think happened? I think that Mama got born again. I think that Mama, after the resurrection, said, you know what? I accept the very one that my husband helped carry the cross. I believe that she helped Paul later on his journey. There was a lot of women of God. There were men of God that helped this man of God along the way. I believe this is one of them. You say, I don't know about that. Your testimony will impact. It will make a difference in the lives of individuals around you. You mark it down. You mark it down. As I said, people don't watch you when you're up on your mountain. They watch you when you're bearing your difficult cross. You say, why? I am convinced, sad enough in this day and time, they're looking for us to quit. They're looking for the child of God to give up. They're looking for the child of God to just throw in the towel. Just end it right here. Just quit. It's not worth it. But may I declare to you by the word of God, it is worth it, amen. Yeah. It'll be worth every trial you ever face. It'll be worth everything that comes your way. It'll be worth every storm that you face. It'll be worth it, amen. Lord God, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it, my friends. Listen to me. Your testimony is the one thing when you take your last breath that will live on in your life. It'll go on from generation to generation to generation. Whether good or bad, amen. Testimony don't die. Yeah. Listen to me. When you're given the privilege of bearing a difficult cross, your testimony will impact those around you. I'm convinced that Simon's sons were impacted by a daddy that was willing and that bore the very cross of our Lord and Savior. And then I want to point out to you that not only this, but the good Lord will give you strength to bear it. When you've been given a difficult cross to bear, the Lord will give you strength. You say, you believe that? We'll go back to 2023. In January, I had a little great-niece. Little great-great-niece. Boy, it's hard to say. Born into this world, that little great-niece never got to come home 7.5 months. That precious little girl has been in Vanderbilt Hospital. We've been praying like none other. We've been praying for a family that wasn't the strongest of churchgoers. Up in Jacksboro, Tennessee, where I'm from, and my home, and where I was born and raised, we began to see something happen in the life of our family members. You say, why? Because the Lord will give you strength to bear your cross. Whatever comes your way, He'll give you the strength to make it through. I promise you, by the word of God, it's not by these preachers' words, but God will give you the strength to march on. Amen. So you believe that? David said it boldly in say in Psalms 18:1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength.
Amen.
Amen. He declared it. And I declare it by the word of God tonight that he'll give you the strength to carry on. That little precious girl, got a picture of her on my phone. Keep it there as we group text amongst the brothers and sisters, amongst my sister, which is the grandmother. And we text back and forth. And that little girl finally, it was a joyous occasion when that little girl got to come home. That little girl, that little baby girl, has affected more lives than you could ever imagine. She's affected life after life after life. She cannot hear. She's got downs. She's a precious little baby girl. But you got a mama that's put her faith, got herself situated back in the Lord. And you got a mama and a daddy that now are praying and saying, thank you, Lord, that you blessed us enough. Thank you, Lord, for this difficult cross. Thank you, Lord, that you choose us. You would choose us. You would choose us to raise this baby girl in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Turn a year old yet, amen. But oh my goodness, when the Lord gives you the privilege, when he comes right straight to you, and he says, don't choose me. I'm going to give you a cross, I'm going to give you a difficult cross to bear. And I'm going to give it to you for your glory. I'm going to give it to you for my glory. I'm going to give it to you so that you can be blessed. I'm going to give it to you so that you can feel my presence and so that you can feel my power. That's a difficult cross. What an unusual, and I know, maybe a message that don't go out to everybody, but I'm convinced tonight there is somebody here. Boy, you're bearing a difficult cross. You're wondering to yourself, just like that mother, as I heard her scream out this morning, wondering, how am I going to make it? And that was her words. That was what she was screaming. I can't go no farther. God, I can't go any farther. You could see the weight of the cross, that difficult cross upon that precious mama that's lost her son. She's grieving, but in the midst of that, boy, God's people all around. God's people begin to gather. And I believe, I'm convinced, before she walked out of that church today, that she received a special strength. She received strength in the midst of her sadness, in the midst of her sorrow. I believe that God spoke to her heart and said, hey, I've chosen you for a reason. You're special to me. Not everybody can handle what you're able to handle. Go on for the glory of God and let your testimony shine forth. And realize that I only give this to the people that are strong enough to bear it. Not only that tonight, but may I say to you, not only will he give you this cross and it won't be by accident, not only will it be a testimony, and your testimony can shine forth and people can see by your testimony that you're going to go on for the glory of God. Not only will he give you the strength, but I read real close. Take it however you want to again. But I believe he'll bear it with you. Listen to me. I believe he'll bear the cross with you. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. I've stood in this church the last times I've stood broken. There was a day and time, and I say it boldly, there was a day and time when my children went to the house of God with me. There was a day and time when I looked around and there was my grandbabies. There was my two grandsons and my granddaughter sitting right there beside us in a pew, Priscilla. There was a day and time when they loved the house of God. They no longer are in the house of God. Matter of fact, you can't hardly even talk to them anymore. I've got a younger daughter that I've requested prior. I've stood here and preached and just poured out my heart regarding my youngest daughter. Now I've got my youngest and my oldest not in the house of God. Don't want anything to do with the things of God. You say, preacher, is that a... Yes, that's a difficult cross. But I'm willing to bear it. You say, how are you bearing it? He's with me. He's going each step of the way with me, and I realize that, and I know that. As difficult as that cross is, I'm willing by the glory of God to go on for his honor. to go on for His glory, to preach His precious gospel, to stand strong, to be a testimony. I've got people right down the road that need a testimony down here in a local funeral home and cemetery. They need somebody that has a testimony that they know God, and that when death comes their way, I know the one that can comfort. I know the one that can walk with you. I know the one that'll shelter you. I know the one that'll be your refuge. I know the one that'll be your high tower. I know the one that'll be your fortress.
Amen.
Well, listen to me. I'm convinced that He'll bear that cross with you. He'll bear that difficult cross with you. You say you believe that? Yes, I do. I believe that with all my heart. We know the scripture. Most of us could quote it. Proverbs 18:24. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, I love that precious scripture, and I've had to remind myself time and time and time again. He's allowed me to have some difficult crosses in my life. One of the most difficult came here just this past week at my place of work. I had a man come in bawling and crying. His wife, which is my friend, I've known her. I preached her mama's funeral back in 2001. He come in crying, asking for Priscilla. He wanted to see Priscilla. And then when he found out Priscilla wasn't there, he said, "Well, I guess her husband will do." Well, I stand there talking to him. I said, "I am her husband." I said, "How can I help you? What's going on?" He said, my wife fell sick. And I don't know what to do." And I said, "What's your wife's name?" When he told me her name, I said, "Oh, I know her." I said, She's my friend. And all of a sudden, that man began to bawl. And I looked at him and I said, you got a difficult cross. You got something on you that I don't know the right words to say." He said, I need help. I said, "Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Right there in the foyer of a funeral home," I said, "it won't matter. Don't you worry about who comes around. He's going to fire the man. So don't you worry who walks in the door. Don't you worry who walks through here. Don't worry about the co-workers. Don't worry about anybody else." I stood right there and I wrapped my arms around him and I cried out to the everlasting God. And I asked God to comfort this man with what he's bearing. Comfort this man in every way you can, Lord. Comfort this man. I do not know him. I do not know his condition. Lord, just comfort him. Be a savior to him. Show him yourself mighty. What I did not realize is probably within a day, that same man, Pastor Lawson, calls me, different spirit, whole different spirit, curses me out. And I'm on the phone with him, and I just sit there, and the Lord kind of nudged my heart. You've got a cross right now, and I'm not here with you. Be quiet. I let him curse me. I let him say words to me that I hadn't heard in a long time. And he was mad. He had turned to anger. And I just sit there. I was on the phone this time. I just sit there in silence. As the Lord had already touched my heart and said, "You won't need to speak, because if you speak, your keys shout. You from Gasparilla, Tennessee. Man talks to you like that, you will fire up real fast and let him know what for." This old country boy didn't. I kept my silence. Boy, I'm so glad I kept my silence. That was on Houston. Brother Barry on Thursday. On Thursday, he wanted to get home to me again. Didn't know it could be Thursday. Didn't know what it could be this time. He wanted to get a hold of the preacher that's going to preach his wife's funeral. And Priscilla relayed a message to me. She said, "He wanted to tell you that he went to a Baptist church on Wednesday night, and the Lord got a hold of his heart, and he fell under conviction. And due to you being so kind to him, due to you just allowed him to curse you out, due to you just sitting there in silence and not saying anything except I love you and I'm going to pray for you." He said it got a hold of my heart. It convicted me. It dealt with me. And on Wednesday night, Brother Keith, I gave my heart to the Lord. I got born again. Amen. Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
Said, "Don't stir me up." Boy, that stirs me up. Amen. That don't only stir me up, my friend. That stirs the very saints of God in the presence of angels.
Yeah.
I believe all of heaven shouted Wednesday night. And this man got born again.
Amen, sir.
I'm to stand down here tomorrow night and preach a funeral. Boy, am I ready to preach. Woo! Glory to God. I thought Tuesday, what in the world am I going to say?
Yeah.
How am
I going to look at this family? How am I going to look at them? The Lord has a way. If we'll just bear that difficult cross. He has a way of standing right there and hugging us up. And standing right there with us all the way through.
Amen. As we close tonight, God's nudging me and saying, that's it. That's the message. Enough said. As they come to get a song, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Lawson. Let me challenge you tonight, somebody or some people. I'm looking around right now. I see families. I've got friends here. I know one particular family that just went through the grief of losing a son. There may be others in here, and I don't know your situation. I don't know your circumstance. I don't know what difficult cross you may be bearing. This preacher may have not even hit that or touched on that. But may I say to you tonight that we have a Lord and Savior that is able to take you up and just shelter you and say, listen, I'm going to give you a difficult cross. But in that difficult cross, I've chosen you for a reason. It won't be by accident. I'm going to give you the strength to carry it. I'm going to have you smile even in your suffering. I'm going to have you praise my precious name even as you struggle, even in the storms. My friend, listen to me. It's a joy. What I preach to you tonight is a privilege and honor to be able to be chosen as one of God's children to bear a difficult cross. Somebody in here, if not people, may need to come to an altar tonight and say, Lord, that was for me. I'm bearing some things right now that I can't handle. Lord, I didn't realize that you've laid it upon me for the good and not the bad. Maybe there's somebody on the sound of my voice tonight that would say, you know what? I'm just going to take it to the Lord. And I'm going to accept and I'm going to walk on just as Simon walked on. And by the way, friends, he's never mentioned again. But I am convinced that his life was forever changed. I am convinced when he was there side by side with the very Lamb of God bearing a cross that Jesus affected him in such a way that his life was changed for all eternity. Because I know that for a fact. I've been there before. And when you meet up with Jesus and your will meets up with God's will, it will form a cross. It will form a cross. And you will be changed forevermore. Stand with us tonight. Thank you for listening to this preacher. Thank you for allowing me to pour out my heart. And I ask you tonight to challenge yours. God's speaking to you tonight. This is his house. This is his altar. Obey him, please.
Make 81.